GAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. Excuse me. Went and got a slice of baguette and a cup of coffee. And back with Ed DeRosa and with James Scully, putting them together because we're tight for time. So we're going to do what everybody enjoys, the back and forth, the ping pong effect. But first, let me say good morning, James.
Morning, Steve.
Eddie.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Can't wait for this weekend. Going to learn a lot, I think.
Did you get the kids healthy?
Yep. EJ went back to school this week, so thankful for that, and started a new regimen to hopefully keep him healthy and avoid pneumonia three times in a calendar year.
That'd be good. That'd be good. Try to keep it to twice. Keep it to once each semester.
Yeah.
My God.
We feel good about the goal. So hopefully we'll see it through.
Knock on wood. Well, before we do anything else, James, Kentucky Derby report, your Fountain of Youth recap.
Yeah, I mean, tough not to be blown away by Ette Indian in the Fountain of Youth. Really just showed a terrific, I thought, dynamic early foot from the starting gate, sprinting forward, crossing over in front of non-rivals before the first turn, and then really just settled so nicely on a short lead, had another gear nearing the conclusion of the far turn where he began to draw off a wide advantage dramatically. And, you know, it was a little bit, drifting out under the wire, but he was, you know, he was about 10 lengths clear, might have just, like, lost focus late. So, obviously, you're looking at potential with longer distances and still more speed out there where he could be facing that in the future. But tough not to come away impressed by the effort he showed making his third start.
And Florent Giroux mentioned that when those lights came on, the finish line photo lights, that's what kind of startled him and sent him drifting out, kind of caught him off guard, given how late the race went off. So I think for those that sometimes believe that, you know, a horse getting out late is a bad sign, boring out. In this particular case, there was seemingly a reason. I mean, that he was in hand, down the stretch anyway. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's, yeah. You know, it's a little bit relevant to a horse we'll talk about here in a second with Authentic. You know, he did the same thing, out there by almost 10 lengths clear. And, it's really just a sign of immaturity, a person could argue.
Let's, Ed, any recap from the weekend you want to throw in?
No, I mean, I was a little surprised, the number Least Rag is in. I haven't seen his thoroughgraph, came back a little lighter than I thought, but, you know, with that type of victory, you're sort of going to get what you get. And as you said, he was his under wraps and the race was over, well before, any real running needed to start. So, the one thing I would say is I came away impressed with Country Grammar. I mean, that was kind of the race I was expecting from him. I picked him to win, you know, with the big price, wanted to take a shot, and Ette Indian was gone. But, Country Grammar did some running late, and I think a mile and an eighth and beyond is going to be more his game anyway, given the pedigree. And Chad knew it was a prep. So I'm excited about the also-rans from that race. I think it's going to be a productive Fountain of Youth.
Let's get right into the action. And where do you want to start? What do you think's best? How do we do this? New York? Yeah, let's start in New York, and we'll work our way out and around.
All right, should I start the Gotham then?
Sure.
All right. A compelling race with it being the one turn mile, and I'm not picking a favorite in any of the three, so I'm somewhat swinging with Necker Island, but I thought his win at the one turn mile upsetting Silver State was certainly good. Obviously, you worry about was that a swap aided, et cetera, but it wasn't the one turn mile, which this is, and didn't show a ton in the swale, but was caught wide when chasing the pace, and we know he does like to be close, so maybe a cozier trip here in the Gotham at a nice price and taking a swing. I know back in the fall when I talked to Stanley in the paddock at Churchill, he liked his barn of two-year-olds, and this one's coming back, and I like the stretch back out to a mile.
James?
I think Necker Island could be key to the pace. You know, I thought he got away a little bit slow in that swale, his first race since November. Both of his wins were on the front end. He's come back and worked real fast in 5-4-1 bullets. I expect him to be more affordably placed. This race last year had a 44 and change. The winner, Hakal, rallied from double digit lengths off the pace, to win going away. I like attachment rate in here, and I just think it's going to be hot early. Last time, Mischievous Alex in the beat Untitled to the lead in the swale. I think Untitled's going from the outside, and Mischievous Alex, he's run both those his last two races on the front end. Attachment rate, I thought it was a really big race, two starts back against Market Analysis. Well, it was just too far back early, didn't really break that day. Even last time in that maiden win, you know, he's still showing signs of immaturity, greenness in the stretch, weaving all over the place while switching leads. I think he's got more. I think he's got upside for Dale Roman, has more to offer. He's going to get the perfect setup. I'm going to pick him to be along in time with Luis Saez.
What else do we like in New York, Ed? Anything else?
I like Mr. Dougie Fresh and the Tom Fool. Gets in light, popular claim on this one right off the claim, which I think was two in a row or two of three. But I think Down from the Rail should be prominent early, and maybe a ground-saving trip and getting in a little light is enough to outlast Mind Control. But I just think 10-1 is the right price on a horse stepping back into stakes but going the right way.
I like in the Butcher, I like Mo City. Granted, Lake Avenue is going to be really tough, it looks like, but she is cutting back from a mile to eighth race where she had everything her own way on the front end. Could catch some pressure here. Mo City, first time out, was brilliant that day at Tampa. Had everything her own way when she moved to the lead on the far turn. Last time, she didn't break well. She was wide most of the way, and then when she got to the stretch, the jockey angled her inside, and she raced diagonally. Still gets beat a neck. Valuable seasoning experience. I think this filly, like I said, Uncle Mo filly, still has more to offer for Stidham, and Manny Franco picks up the mount.
Go from New York down to Tampa and the Tampa Bay Derby. Ed DeRosa.
Swinging again, same morning line as the Gotham, but I'm on Let Me Know. And I think one thing I'm trying to work on and improving my betting is sort of what the story you're trying to tell about what's going to happen with the bet. And admittedly, it's a gamble. I'm basically betting on the race to collapse and Let Me Know to improve a little bit. But I think we'll get the right price to gamble on that happening. I thought the three-year-old debut was decent. Once he got clear, did some running to just miss third, kept on evenly, was with the pack. I wasn't overly discouraged to get a big price here. Again, we'll need improvement, but, you know, this is sort of the profile of three-year-olds that improve. They come back. He ran as well as he did as a two-year-old, so he's already at that base, so to speak. And if he can jump forward from there and the pace comes back to him, I think 12-1 is a fair price. To me, the biggest liability, other than him being wind shy, is the jock's ice cold. But maybe shipping up north to Oldsmar will heat him up.
James,
I thought Market Analysis debut was a lot more impressive than it looks on paper. He's a big, long, good-looking athlete for Todd Pletcher. I thought, you know, he didn't necessarily break that badly, but he got shuffled back a couple steps out of it. John B. really hustled him in the chute. He charged forward and then instantly just settled right in hand. John B. didn't move a muscle on the backstretch, didn't move a muscle on the far turn. took off, you know, had a clear lead. Attachment Rate was running at him, but I don't even think he really saw him. I expect him to move forward off that race if he breaks in the Tampa Bay Derby. I really like Market Analysis.
How about that? So basically passing on you know, on the major candidates.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Volante had the perfect trip in the Sam F. Davis, you know, where he only came off the rail to go around Independence Hall in a deep stretch, 12-horse field. I'm worried about him getting caught out there with a big wide move. I really only think he doesn't even have to win. If he ran second or third, I think that'd be a good effort. Chance that I'm taking a little bit of an opposition because he's away from Gulfstream and stretching back out the two turns. But the horse that worries me a little bit is Spa City. So I like both last outmade winners, Market Analysis, and Spa City.
Now,
I have to say, Steve, I don't know if James has noticed this looking at the Brisnet stuff, but he and I are both really going against our own company. So to show we're not complete homers, but Prime Power, Profit Line, they love Chance It in this spot. So, you know, sometimes handicapping, just looking beyond the numbers, but from a pure, like, Brisnet proprietary stuff, you know, our data loves Chance It, so we'll see which one's right, but he just figures to be over bet for me.
Fair enough. What else we like in Tampa, Ed?
I actually like a horse early on the card, appropriately named First Course, although it's in race three, but early enough to be the first course. The Amuse-Bouche, I guess, is the early double. But I like this horse returning to turf. The debut runners in here are, you know, curious, but it is two turns, which is tough on debut and some are shipping up. But this horse I thought ran awesome at Kentucky Downs, picked up a lot of pieces in his turf debut and then hasn't seen turf since. So this is one I actually remembered from the meet down there last year. And at 8-1, I'm definitely playing to run well on his return to turf as a three-year-old.
James?
In the Florida Oaks, I think the favorites in there are Vulnerable. I like number 11, Blame Debbie, making her first start on turf for Grand Motion. She was third last. She broke her main at Keeneland, came back, ran third in the Demoiselle. Didn't fire last time, but this filly really but she's by Blame, 15% turf sire, and hails from a good turf female family. Expecting her to show more speed. She showed good speed early in her career. Got off like a broke last in the Suncoast last time. John B. comes back to ride her. I expect her to be forwardly placed from that outside post and run a good race.
That of Florida Oaks, the more we talk about it, the more, you know, the more candidates seem to be emerging and all at good prices, too. I hope that's not a formula to bring home, you know, one of the two favorites. Ed, before we go to California, anything else in Tampa?
No, that's it for me in the Sunshine State.
Fair enough. James, anything else?
Yeah, I'm ready to go out west.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Santa Anita. Start with the San Felipe, James Scully.
I think it's a race where Storm the Core really, you know, plays an important role, because if he's not out there running with Authentic, it's difficult for me to envision Authentic getting beat at the mile on the 16th trip. It is a key prep where I think both Honor AP and Thousand Words, in a sense, could get outpaced by a horse like Authentic, but still really have a valuable race under them for the final prep if they're finishing well in the stretch. So I think it's a race that I'm just going to be watching. I would think I'm a little concerned about Storm the Core, whether he's good enough to go out there and really fire on the front end. And I think it's Authentic's race to lose. But I do expect both Honor AP and Thousand Words to run well from off the pace.
Ed?
Well, I'm gonna dig in on my man here, James, but I really disagree on Authentic. Just looking at the pace ratings, he's either going to have to run faster early than he ever has before to get the trips that he's done, or he'll be way further back than he has before and have to show a different dimension. Not that we'd be surprised by either, given his Hall of Fame trainer, but at a short price, I just have to bet against, with knowing the race is going to be different from what he's seen. I do see Thousand Words and Honor AP is similar. Thousand Words does have the stakes experience, but he also has the price to go along with it. And at two or three times the price of the Baffert, I just think Honor AP has the profile to me to be a big contender here. The debut, you know, way far back, but showed a lot of run, and then second out just blitzed them. And we probably won't get either of those in this situation, but I think we've seen versatility already. And I'm just high on this horse at the 4-1 price. I think that's really fair.
It's an interesting, it's just an interesting group, and I'm gonna defer and wait until I really get a chance to try to figure out how they're gonna move on the chessboard here. It's I've got a big affection for Thousand Words that I've made clear, you know, since December. But this is not the Kentucky Derby either. This is the San Felipe. So it's a step, you know, it's a step on the road. What else we like out there? Big cap thoughts, James?
Yeah, you know, to me, it was interesting with Gift Box in San Antonio, the speed he showed that day. I think Rosario is going to be really focused on mid-court. Could be a situation where they hook up well before the wire. And 235 has the best chance at an upset, in my opinion. He's a lightly raced 6-year-old, making his second start back off a layoff for Baltus in here. Really a big effort, I thought, last time to run second to the loose on the lead midcourt, going a mile and an eighth that day. Didn't run well at 10 furlongs a couple years ago. I think as he's gotten older, he's certainly bred for it. His second dam is that Seeking the Gold mare at the half, so there's a bunch of there's a champion and a bunch of grade one winners in that female family. And I think he's just evolved here in his last three starts, eligible to run a big race, like I said, second off the layoff.
Excellent. Anything else, Ed?
I'm swinging in the big cap myself, even bigger than James. I like Brown Storm at a big price, getting the weight, returning to dirt, hot trainer. Won't say he's been here before with City of Life, but you know, very recently at a top male handicap horse, and the favorites at 126 and 123, I think, are vulnerable. James mentioned maybe they hook up. I just think there's reasons to try to beat them. Is Brown Storm the most likely winner? Of course not, but certainly in that 20-1 or even higher range, chance to blow up any of the exotics with him involved is one I'm going to take.
Very good. Anything else? We're going to talk to Jeff Siegel in a little bit and maybe get some of the underpinnings looked at, including a very deep China doll. But anything else in California?
No, I have a pick for that carryover tonight at Turfway, though, if we have time.
Go ahead, real quick.
Last second Friday for me, real quick, Ed. Race number 6 at Oakland Park today, number 1 Ender. Strong second over the track, third off the last time, third off the layoff. Santana picks up the mount, and the race is loaded with speed. 12-1 morning line, Ender.
And nice. Down at Turfway, where there's a $24,000 pick 5 carryover tonight, race 4, number 2, GJ Busters, 8-1 on the morning line, gets the shorten up to 5.5 furlongs and really looks like lone speed here, which is super deadly at 5.5. Turfway is pretty fair. You can close if there's pace, but if you're alone going that short, you can definitely be gone in that final Florence furlong, as McNerney says. And at 8-1, GJ Buster is going to be on all my pick 5 tickets.
Very nice. And, of course, next week we'll be talking about Turfway Plenty. Mike Battaglia joining us, in fact, next Friday. Looking forward to that. And for those of you making your way to Turfway, make a reservation at Walt's Hitching Post and get down there for ribs or steak. Guys, thanks a lot. We'll talk next week. Who's going to Turfway next week?
James at Turfway, and I'll be live from the pancake shop in Hot Springs.
Very nice. All right. So we'll do some Rebel action with you. Very good. So he's going to do the pancake shop Stubby's double. Excellent. Ed DeRosa, everybody, EJXD2, and James_Scully 111. Brisnet, for all your handicapping and similar support, and the Twin Spires blog role, including, of course, yesterday, as Dick Powell mentioned, Dick's analysis up at Twin Spires. We're going to stay right here all the way till noon. Andy Serling to follow, and also a visit with Jeff Siegel. Right now, Dave Greinich joining us from New York. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. It's been a frenetic morning, as we expected, and the Gotham card with an all-stakes pick four, certainly terrific, but the first order of business is the increasing rate of departure of Shed Rose from New York.
Yes, and we knew Kieran McLaughlin was probably not coming back. He'd left for the winter and pretty much said it was unlikely he was coming back. I don't think we thought he was going to take the become a jocks agent, but this opportunity, and it makes a lot of sense to take Louis Saez's book, arose when Richie DePass opted to retire. And I think it's a good move for Kieran. I mean, I think sure. He was a little bit disillusioned from the major issues here are the Federal Department of Labor, the New York State Department of Labor, coming in and not agreeing with the business practices of the trainers back here. And I guess the short way to explain this way is that back here the horsemen want to pay their health salaries, and the Department of Labor says no, you have to pay an hourly wage. And when you look at how long a day at the track is, from morning training to racing, an hourly wage becomes a lot of overtime and it increases expenses. And the labor board was basically going back and saying, well, this is how you're doing it, and this must have been how you were doing it for X number of years. And they were sort of going after them for back wages. But I think it's important to note that the people who take these jobs, they know, when they sign up, they know what they're getting, a salary, and if they can either agree to it or not agree to it, and if they agree to it and take the job, they that's what they're agreeing to. But the Department of Labor disagrees with that methodology, and it basically said these are hourly wages, and it's led to outrageous fines for a lot of trainers. Some can afford it, some can't. And a guy like Gary Contessa, who also left, he pretty much said, I can't do it, and Kieran McLaughlin doesn't want to do it, and you can't blame him.
No, it's
and
very
I don't
difficult.
Think these are the only two. I think there'll be more. Now, they guys may not retire. Guys may move elsewhere, but I do think there'll be more.
Well, and I've mentioned that Gary, our Gary Sciacca, I mean, Gary's dealt with it, and he's paying a schedule of payments, and at the same time, I talked to Paul Barone yesterday, and Paul said Gary is going to try to limit the number of visa programs that he gets involved in, and he says it's just they've made it so that they're setting landmines, essentially. I mean, no matter what you try to do, they'll make an agreement, and then they'll come back and say, oh, and what about this? And the county regulations is just mind boggling. I mean, putting somebody on a van from Belmont to Aqueduct, and the whole rate schedule has changed. They're basically just using the backstretch as a pinata at this point.
It's true, and if you go to Saratoga, it's a different rate now. It's a little cheaper up there, but yeah, you're dealing with, and you're not dealing with, you're dealing with horsemen. Not necessarily, they're not all businessmen. Most of them are not. So they, they get themselves in a bit of a jackpot unknowingly, and they're not. On social media, being what it is, you see guys thinking, oh, that's their just desserts because they're shorting their workers. Hey, like I said earlier, you agree to, this is your salary, and you get X percent, you get a percentage of the horse's earnings, and you might get staked and whatnot. And going in what you're agreeing or not agreeing to it. It's just like anybody else who has a job. I mean, talk about myself, journalism, not just me, but other journalists too. You think the people that work for salaries, they're just working 40 hours a week, guys covering the political trail, the presidential campaign. You think those guys, they're salaried workers, and they're working not 40 hours a week. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
But getting paid 40 hours a week.
Exactly. let's turn our attention to the action, and the action's good. A very nice Gotham Day card, as well as the Tom Fool. We got an old stakes pick four, and even into Sunday, actually, there's some nice racing. There's some good maidens involved as well in allowance action. Let's focus on the stakes. Start with the Gotham, which really has got a lot of one-turn types. Don't know if there'll be a Derby participant. We may have to wait for the Wood Memorial for that, Dave, but the Gotham is certainly fun.
It's an interesting race. I mean, like I said, you got to separate it from, you know, looking at, oh, this is Derby horse in here. There probably isn't, but there's some potentially talented horses in there, and you got to start with Mischievous Alex, who is coming off two blowout victories at 7/8, one at Parks, a race that actually turned out to be pretty good. And the Swale, which, you know, he won those two by a combined 16 3/4 lengths. One of the common denominators is the fact that he's worn blinkers in both those starts. He's got speed, and he's got a rider who rides for speed in Kendrick Carmouche aboard. So I think you have to start here, and could he get involved in a duel with a horse like Entitled or Warstopper or Wentz? I mean, not Wentz, I'm sorry, wrong race. Celtic Striker from the rail, I don't know, but I think he's the best horse in the race. The race goes through him. He does spot some weight to a couple other horses. Two that interest me are one, Attachment Rate, who's in post four for Dale Romans. Coming, you know, you look at his odds, and he's like, no one's ever really paid much attention to this horse. I don't know why he was such a big price the first time he ran. But second time he ran, I know why, because he didn't run any good the first time he ran. But he ran a very good race when he got beat by Market Analysis, who's in the Tampa Bay Derby for Todd. He was floated very wide, but he closed nicely. And then in a race that you could almost hardly see because the weather was so bad, he drew away from a horse called Ragtag, who he was with in even terms at the mid stretch, and just kind of or top the stretch, and he just ran away from them. Now that race is hard to gauge a little bit because the fractions can't be right, the early fractions can't be right. So while it was more of an eye test for me. I just thought he was very visually impressive, and sure. I try to ignore the what those fractions say they were. And Dale's had some success here. He won this race a few years ago with J Boy's Echo. So I think this horse is well met. And then Montauk Traffic for Linda. You know, the first race is an absolute throwout, and the last two, both 7/8 races here, have been good. And it looks like he could get a nice trip as well. So Untitled, I don't know what to expect from him. Flapjack, I have no idea what to expect from that horse. He hasn't run since September, and his win came on a synthetic surface. So, I mean, to me, that's where the race is. That's where I look at the race.
Back it up to the Busher, where Lake Avenue makes a return, and boy, Bill Mott seems absolutely stocked with three-year-old fillies.
He has two good ones that I know of, with the Lake Avenue and Harvey's Little Goyle, and Lake Avenue chose this particular spot over last weekend's, I guess, the Devona Dale, where there were some good horses and more accomplished and more experienced horses down there, so I guess it was a good idea not to run against Toneless Shape and Spice is Nice, and you come up here, and the war should be a little bit easier. Although she does run against a familiar foe in Maydeen, who she did beat handily in the Demoiselle. Maydeen though has some nice races in the one turn mile, but I think Lake Avenue. Just look in talking to both Mott and Hennig, Mark Hennig, the trainer of Maydeen. And just looking at the work tabs, it just seems like Lake Avenue might be a little bit further along in her progression, and got the feel from Mark that, you know, he's hoping to use this as a stepping stone to the next one. Both of them are, but it just seems like he's less focused on having her, you know, crank to win this race as maybe Mott is with Lake Avenue. And this is an automatic. So this is sort of the win and you're in to the Kentucky Oaks because the points are so high. Just like the Gotham for the Derby, you get 50 points if you win the Gotham. You're basically in the Derby if you so choose. Same here with the Busher. If you win the Busher, you get 50 points, and you basically solidify your spot in the Kentucky Oaks.
The Tom Fool, the Grade 3, and kind of an interesting assortment, and certainly the presence in both this and the Stymie of Greg Sacco with his two big horses from last year, Jovia in the Stymie and Mind Control here. Mind Control 7/5 service with Happy Farm. Wentz the Invader, who's been quite good Skyler Scramjet comes back. There's a lot going on in here. Siaka's got Cecilia Mike, who's in career form, and looks like he's got pace to chase. Nice enough group for the Tom Fool.
It is an interesting race, and just to confirm, Mr. Dougie Fresh and Cecilia Mike, who were both entered today, scratched today, and will definitely, you know, or at least will, you know, they're not running today, so I assume they're going to run tomorrow. I like Mind Control as a horse. I just wonder if maybe this is a time that she can maybe take a shot against him for a couple of reasons. One, they weren't necessarily looking to run in here. Now they say they were going to run in the Carter. They say that they're running because he's jumping out of his skin and they don't want to leave him in the barn. That's all well and good. He's got a different rider, a little bit of a tricky horse to ride because this horse does wait on other horses. And Johnny knows that. Velasquez is committed to ride in Tampa. So they have Junior Alvarado. So, he's got to be ready a little bit for a horse that he hasn't been on before. And the horse rarely wins by lot. You know, he won the Jerkins by a nose. He won the Toboggan by a nose. He won the Hopeful by 3/4. So, you know, you can't make too many mistakes here. Yeah, as you mentioned, you have Happy Farm, who's got a lot of speed and is in great form, and he got Wentz with a lot of speed. So I was kind of looking to try and play around in this race a little bit with someone who might benefit from all that pace. And I thought both of Michelle Nevin's horses are live. Wonderful Light was second to Happy Farm in the fall highweight, giving Happy Farm a couple pounds that day. Now, she only gets one. Popped a Quarter Crack in the Gravesend, so you can make a little bit of an excuse for him there. And Skyler Scramjet won this race 2 years ago. If he can avoid getting in a duel, he's well posted out there and maybe can stalk the pace and make a run. You know, he hasn't run since August, so he might be fresh and may not be able to do that. But I'm looking to try and beat the favorites tomorrow with either one of Michelle Nevin's horses.
How about your view of the Stymie?
Hard to make heads or tails on this. I'm going to go. I'd probably go with Diamond King for John Service. Sorry, hasn't been out since the Bold Ruler. Wasn't a bad effort in the Bold Ruler. You get beat by Maximum Security. It makes it a lot. You know, and the race looks a lot better. I'm not sure. You know, he might be the controlling speed here too. I mean, I know Jovia has some speed, but he doesn't have the one turn speed. I don't think like Diamond King does. So I think with Carmouche on and. A horse being fresh and he's run well off the layoff before, like he did in a two other event last, in March. I think I like Diamond King here. Interested to see what Wicked Trick does. You know, this is the first time he's running in a stakes race. He's entered in one, but he's coming off, having scratched out of a race because of colic-like symptoms and missed the race because they canceled that day. So I'm not sure what to do with Wicked Trick, but I'm going to go with the speed here and Diamond King and maybe American Anthem underneath.
Very good. Well, it's a terrific all-stakes pick four, and, of course, two of those four involved in the cross-country pick five. There's the television broadcast. We're going to talk to Andy Serling momentarily about Dave. Enjoy, and we'll talk unless a handful more trainers bolt from the backstretch. We'll talk in a couple of weeks.
I might be taking out my trainer's license. All right, we'll talk soon.
Dave Gredig, everybody. And actually, Dave's going to head down to Florida, too. He usually goes down and helps Mike Welsh on Florida Derby, the Florida Derby week action. So Dave will be down in Florida. I mentioned Andy's going to join us, and as we wait for Andy Serling to come in, I got to mention the unbelievable reaction last night or later yesterday afternoon. I got the nicest note from Pat Costello, who, was obviously holding back the emotion yesterday talking about Jerry Dilger. And the Paramount team and all the friends of Dilger have put together a scholarship fund that obviously is going to, expats to come over and be involved in the industry. They've set a goal of $100,000, and in less than 24 hours, it's over $80,000 already. And I've never seen anything like it, just showing the outpouring of affection and appreciation for Jerry Dilger. So I promised Pat we'd make sure people were aware. I wanted to make sure the people are aware about tomorrow's broadcast, 5:30 to 7, Fox Sports 2, another big weekend. Not as intense as last week, at least in terms of the hours of television coverage. But, Andy, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, and I think people are really keyed up for tomorrow's racing. I mean, from Aqueduct, Tampa, Santa Anita, and there's other things going on, including the Honeybee, which is the anchor leg of the cross-country Pick 5.
Yeah, no, this is a fun time of the year, right? I mean, you really start to get, you feel like racing is really picking up, and, you know, California has a terrific prep in the San Felipe, and the Gotham Camp, a really fun race, Tampa Bay Derby as well, and so, you know, it feels to me as though there you look at the Triple Crown preps, there's no horse that anybody could say, they got to beat him, or even hims. There's a lot of possibly decent horses out there, but nobody that seems to be towering over anybody. I think we're going to find out more and more every week. I think one of the nice things, too, is that it hasn't really so far been a prep season where you've said, well, those horses suck, next. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, they run the preps, and people say, you know, the horses that didn't run were the ones that were flattered. But I think, you know, each week we've seen some nice performances and improving performances like you should see. And while there's no absolute killers out there, I think there's a lot of relatively evenly matched and talented horses. And the Gotham came up a big, fun race. And, you know, we'll be showing on the show, so people know, we'll kick off right away with the Tampa Bay Derby, the Gotham shortly thereafter, the San Felipe, and the Honeybee as well. And perhaps, you know, a couple other races from those tracks. I'm not exactly sure, fortunately or unfortunately. My work is done after the Gotham has run around quarter of six. But it's a fun sequence, and as you mentioned, the cross-country Pick 5, which is the Florida Oaks, the Busher here, then the Tampa Bay Derby, the Gotham, and closes out with the Honeybee, all stakes, four of them graded. The Busher is effectively a graded stake with Lake Avenue and Median coming back. So it's an excellent sequence. I just taped about a 12-minute sort of handicapping overview video that hopefully will be available very shortly. I'll tweet that out, and Ira will tweet it out. I'll tweet it out as well, and I hope people get a chance to look at that. And I think it's far and away the best sequence we've had so far this year. You know, we've had some good sequences, but this is a really fun stakes sequence, and the show should be good. You know, I'll be in New York. Maggie will be here as well, which is nice. And I think starting tomorrow, Maggie's actually going to be pretty much back, so that'll be great. And you know, the boys will be out in California. I believe, I shouldn't say boys, Michelle Yu, I think, will be there as well.
Oh,
but
cool.
I believe it'll be Greg Wolf and Jonathan Kinchin, though I'm not 100% sure. But I believe that's the case. I'm not sure if Jonathan's there or Tampa. It's hard to know where people are. But we'll be all around. So looking forward to that show.
A couple of opinions, Andy. How'd you end up settling on the Gotham? We kind of were speculating when we talked Tuesday, you know, knowing some of the principles.
Well, I want to take a small shot with Necker Island. Not because I think he's the horse to beat by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it'll be a good price. He's showed some real talent and promise. I remember his debut closing weekend in Saratoga when he had a real trip behind Three Technique. He's got to be pointing the Rebel, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the few non-New York breds, I think, that Jeremiah brought down to Oakland. I guess he didn't know they didn't have a program. He's trying to sneak him in the Arkansas bred races. You know, 12 New York breds and a couple of nons. But I think he's a little interesting. He just had a no-shot trip in the Swale the way races be run. I'm not knocking Mischievous Alex, but he really did kind of have everything his own way, and particularly because Untitled, you know, was so badly interfered with at the start that it took him out of the race. I have no knock on Mischievous Alex. He's one of the horses, maybe the horse to beat. Untitled, we'll see if he can put together another good performance, third race in just 5 weeks. We'll see if Rudy Rodriguez's horse in there, the War...
Stopper.
War Stopper. I don't think he's impossible. Montauk Traffic's got to get faster, but he's been running well and should get some pace. So I thought it came up a really fun race.
Agreed. And how about a race that is out of the sequence? Because, you know, the Busher clearly is a fairly narrow focus.
I think it's Lake Avenue or Medea, though I do think Medea has a good chance to win that race. I think people will make a mistake if they're just singling Lake Avenue.
I do want to ask about, and I don't want to take away from your video, but what did you settle on in the Florida Oaks in the opening segment? Because, there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Outburst can build in that last race, she's going to be tough to beat. I thought she was very impressive last time. But, you know, Walking Marrakesh is obviously not impossible. We'll see if she's up to it off a 6-month layoff. I don't know how to pronounce Ivescu on the rail. And believe it or not, I did not use the name from the call because I couldn't trust that. And while Michelin, I thought, ran a better race the two last time, I don't think it was substantial. Michelin draws post 12, and Ivetsu draws the rails and gets Ferrant Giroux, which isn't going to hurt the way he's riding. So I thought she was dangerous. You know, New York Groove is an unknown. I doubt that she's really effective as a turf horse, but it's not impossible in the air. And that was sort of it for me. They were my main players.
All right, and back in New York, Tom Fool thought.
Well, you know, Mind Control is the worst to beat, and he's a game horse that seems to kind of get it done. But he's not exactly an imposing horse based on his speed figures. So while he's the horse to beat, I think you look for somebody else. I mean, I don't trust Scramjet, but he has run very well off layoffs before, and which is not usually the barn's strength. And he's the one horse that has triple-digit buyers that can win this race and beat Mind Control. And Mind Control is not going to have the same run in this race that he had last time out. So I took a small shot with Skyler Scramjet, but I'm not having any illusions that Mind Control is just very game and always seems to show up isn't the horse to beat. Did you have a different idea there?
Not especially, no. No, I don't.
I won't hold against you.
All right. I also want to remind people, and before we let Andy go, I have not made mention that there is a Empire 6 Force out Sunday.
Yes, and I won't be here for it.
Oh, okay.
It's the second one in a row I'll be missing. I'm taking Sunday off. I got days, you know? You got to take them sometimes, Steve.
That's true, actually.
I'm taking that. So that's my plan. Sorry, I didn't even look at the card.
I actually have not myself, but I did notice that in the list of the timing that it was time already. I mean, I guess that's part of the, you know, every 2 weeks, the concept. So be aware that on Sunday after a very
Thank
big
you.
Saturday racing, not at all.
Yes, big weekend of racing. Watch the show on Fox Sports 2 from 5:30 to 7. Watch the Cross Country Pick 5 preview, which should be available shortly. And, you know, bet them, have fun. Try to make some money.
And we'll recap it all.
Handicap. What's that?
I said we're going to recap it all next Tuesday.
Good. I'll be around. I look forward to it.
Excellent.
It was the highlight of my incredibly highlight-filled week. See you later.
See you later. Andy Serling, everybody. And his week, actually, it's one of his favorite weeks of the year because it's the French Film Festival, as noted on Tuesday. So I'm sure he's being facetious, but when he circulates the video preview of the five, I'll retweet it as well. So as we wait for Jeff Siegel to join us, let's remind everybody of everything that we talked about earlier. ExpressBet Beat the Host Championship. I'll send out the set of races that I had mentioned, and of course it was particularly easy to remember at Santa Anita because it was the first, third, fifth, seventh, and ninth, so all the odd races. And actually Jeff is going to join us, so we'll probably get an opinion or two on those, and Jeff Siegel is available for opinion making. Good morning.
Always have opinions. Not always correct opinions, but I'm willing to give them.
Well, and that's half the battle, you gotta formulate an opinion, and then you gotta figure out how to bet it. And certainly, Jeff, all things considered, and with all the difficulties, this came up a terrific big cap San Felipe etc. card.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was actually pleasantly surprised that we had not only a good racing, but they filled, the races filled for the most part, and contentious races, and kind of a throwback to the glory years when I grew up and used to come to the races and as a kid. And, you know, you always kind of look back at that and wonder how many opportunities do we have for that kind of entertainment. But we have it tomorrow for sure. I can't wait.
Let's dive in, and want you to provide some perspective. First, we'll start with the three-year-olds because it is the glamour division, and it didn't really matter if this got four, five, six, or seven. It didn't, you know, the extraneous players were immaterial. The four principals made this a very good and intriguing race.
You know, it's funny because usually with these prep races, and we have one at Tampa Bay where you've got, in my opinion, two main players and the rest are just kind of in there to fill the field up. At Tampa Bay, of course, Chancet and Sovalante. But this San Felipe has got more than two. It's got at least four and maybe a couple others that I'm not giving credit for. But with Authentic and Thousand Words, a couple of undefeated colts and Bob Baffert's barn and the champion two-year-old Storm the Court and then Honor AP, who was as impressive a maiden winner as we saw last fall and making his first start back since for John Sheriff. This has the look of what would be a very good Santa Anita Derby, much less a San Felipe. And there's some tough competition, and a lot of colts are going to put their efforts on the line here. I love Authentic, but after watching Thousand Words Breeze the other day, I think the light switch may have gone on for him. And then Storm the Court is training much better now than he was prior to the San Vicente, and Honor AP has been training right along. So, I mean, this is a really, really good prep, maybe the deepest prep race we've seen this year.
Well, and it's funny how often in discussion the workouts have come up. And, you know, yesterday Haskin and I talked about it. John White and I talked about it on Tuesday earlier with Jay Privman. And it clearly, you know, having the access at xptv.com, you know, to watch these works, see the progression, see the differences, it's... You know, it's really an added tool. And then, on top of everything, I noticed for the first time last week, Jeff, with you and Zoe, I noticed the workout report that you guys offered up for everybody.
Yeah, we do that for the big races, and we not only look at the works, but try to evaluate where horses are. And now, when I talked to you a few weeks ago, I know that you were obviously high on Thousand Words, and I was maybe a little less high on him than some of the others, but he really has come around. I mean, this colt looks like he is figuring things out, you know, in a big way. And it's hard to say that about a colt that's undefeated in three starts and a two-time graded stakes winner. But, I mean, he is impressive to me, and so is Authentic. So you watch the workouts, and you're looking not necessarily for fast workouts. You're just looking to see how they do it and how much in hand they have and how eager they are and how strong they are on the gallop. You know, the usual things. And I think both Authentic and Thousand Words are showing signs of maturing and developing quickly now. And I'm curious to see which can prevail if in fact, one of the other wins it. And like I mentioned, Storm the Courts, he's doing really well as well. And Honor AP is, I can't tell you how much potential I think he has. So this is a heck of a race.
Let's actually dive into a couple of other spots that have big fields and a lot of intrigue. And I promised people earlier, I kind of dangled a selection in the China Doll. And here's a 14-horse field. This is what makes this card so much fun that, you know, here you are in the middle of everything. And, you know, the seventh race, the China Doll, that Hammer got going, you got this deep and contentious group.
Man, I opened this race up, and I was going through the PPs on the DRF that I print out.
Kept going.
I kept going. I said, wait, one, page one, okay, that's fine. That's page two. Page three? You know, 14 runners in that race. And it's a non-graded stakes, but it's one of the best gambling races of the day because there are so many of these fillies that look like they have a chance to win it. I actually like a 6-1 on the morning line filly named Bella Vita. She's number three on the program, a daughter of Mayern, who just broke her maiden against Statebreds. But if you watch the race, you can see how visually impressive she was. And she got beat the nose in her first start. She should have won by five that day and got left at the gate and did all kinds of stupid things. But she's a 6-1 shot with Pratt and Simon Callahan and a $400,000 two-year-old in training purchase. And she is going to be on the lead. And that is a very good gamble as far as I'm concerned for Bella Vita. So that's part of the card. You know, it makes it so intriguing. Not only are you getting great racing and important racing and graded stakes company, but you got some good plays as well, so or at least potentially good plays. So, yeah, that's the seventh race for me, the China Doll.
Also saving ground, maybe setting up behind the speed at 8-1, Little Bird for Baltus. I thought that the Irish bred was okay in here.
No question. I mean, you've got a lightly raced filly began her race in England and showed some promise there. Didn't run against much, but ran against, you know, modest competition. Then came here and kind of given a run in the Blue Norther and didn't really break all that well. And then comes back and wins nicely and progressing nicely, as I mentioned. You got a great group stakes winner from Ireland making her U.S. debut in the same race for Sadler. Stella Starr's done some good work in the morning. And you got a filly that I like named Beguiled, who was 10-1 in the morning line for Phil D'Amato, broke her maiden, was all over the racetrack. Didn't even know what she was doing, and she still went off by herself, and she adds blinkers now. So who could tell how good Beguiled could be, a daughter of Orb? So just one of several in that race that makes it very, very challenging.
Let's get opinions from you as well in the big cap and in the kill row. And let's start with the kill row because Got Stormy comes west for a grade one another time against the boys. And she laid an egg in Tampa. There's no two ways about it. And she's going to have to be, you know, back to her good thing. And certainly, you know, she certainly ran well in the Breeders' Cup on this course. But she's got some real competition in here.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be here unless Mark Cassie thought that that was a throwout for whatever reason. She's trained really well. And again, you can watch these workouts on XBTV.com, the works that she's had at Palmetto since that disappointing run at Tampa Bay. And I don't think she'd be here, and I don't think she'd still be in training unless they thought she still had plenty to give. And so I'm going to assume, and I'm going to trust the trainer here, that Got Stormy is going to bounce back. You know how well she ran in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Her matriarch went after that at Del Mar was sensational as well. And I think River Boyne is back to where he needs to be. He had a stale 2019, but he loves Santa Anita. His win in the Thunder Road at Granada was just a grade three, but it showed me that River Boyne is back to where he had been. And he needs cover. He needs to settle and save ground and make a run, and he got that trip. And he's going to get another trip similar to that here with Cedillo riding him back. So I think Got Stormy will win, but I think River Boyne is going to be tough once again.
How about the big cap running out of time?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't see any reason why the defending champ won't win again. I mean, good horse and training well, and I really do think Gifbox will win and, you know, go on with it after that. He's 6-5, no gamble, but he's a 7-year-old, but he's only had 18 starts, so he's pretty fresh, and I think Gifbox wins the big cap.
I'm going to ask you quickly about the 11th race, Jeff, what you're doing in there, the 5.5 turf sprint. Quick is coming back from her North American debut where she was supposed to win, and Rosario had her a mile back. I'm a little surprised that they're going back to the 5.5, and there's a lot of ways to go in here, and there's some really attractive prices.
Yeah, I thought it'd stretch out Quick. Just like you said, she was a middle distance horse. Actually ran a mile and a quarter when she was second in a valuable handicap at Newmarket. And they sprinted her. I thought they were just kind of getting their feet wet. And now she's back sprinting. And the problem with her is that she doesn't have a lot of race speed. I mean, at least sprinting. If she can negotiate a trip and get some help up front, I think Quick will get there. But it's not easy. It's not. She's not a single just because of that. I haven't really kind of got into that race quite yet. But Quick is obviously the one to beat in the finale. And we'll see, you know, if she can get lucky. She's the best filly in the race if she gets the trip.
Well, and I don't know if there is enough pace to set her up, and I'm going to toss out two prices. Brian Corner is sending grinning ear to ear, and you're looking at 10-1. And off the claim, I can't wait to see what Andy Harrington has to say, but off the claim, Mark Glatt, Drift Away, 15-1. The race two back competes. Really fun 11th race. Jeff, good luck this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good to me.
Jeff Siegel, everybody. J. Siegel Racing. And that was a full-fledged weekend preview. I want to thank Hammer, of course, and Marty McGee, Nick Tamaro, Jay Pribman, DeRozan Scully, Dave Grenning, Andy Serling. Watch the Fox Sports 2 show, 5:30 to 7 tomorrow. And Jeff Siegel just now, KC on the board, of course. And we will talk to you Monday, start to recap it all. And I guess a lot of pick fours and pick fives. Yeah, I'll do a hybrid of Tampa and New York and a little bit of Santa Anita. Myself, all right, and maybe Gus too. I don't know if Gus is what he's doing for tomorrow. Good luck, though. I'll talk to you Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Want an online tournament that boasts no rake, skim, or takeout with a $10,000 first prize? Here it is. Play ExpressBet Live online Saturday, March 21st. ExpressBet Live is for account holders only, with no registration or other pesky fees. Simply make a live $20 wager on one horse in 10 competition races. Earn the most and collect $10,000. Plus, there's from $1,000 to $4,000 in additional prizes. The top 30 finishers automatically qualify for the $50,000 ExpressBet Showdown. Sweep the card and earn a juicy $5,000 bonus. Don't have an ExpressBet account? Visit ExpressBet.com today and qualify for a $100 bonus. Then register free for ExpressBet Live, the best tournament value going. Play live online with ExpressBet Saturday, March 21st, and it could be your day, but only if you play. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Public Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.